It's Food Friday. The holiday season is here, and that means the pressure is on to bring an impressive dish to our next party with family, friends, or coworkers. They're gonna judge us. It can be a pain getting the food there and keeping it warm, but our own Lori Skelton has a solution. She's calling it bowl food. Foods you can bring in a bowl, throw them in a bowl, bring over, boom, they're ready to serve. She's got sweet stuff, savory stuff, and we want to know your favorites. What low-maintenance dish is your go-to option for a holiday party? Is there a bowl of something you've had at a party that you still remember? Do you have a way to spice up the classics like Chex Mix or nuts or salads? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post. Find some recipes on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Lori Skelton is one of our classical music hosts at WPR and in-house foodie. Lori, welcome back.
Hi, Rob.
Well, it's bowl food. I think I'd bring it to a bowl game, the Orange Bowl, maybe.
Yes.
But what led to your concept of bowl food here?
Just the idea of ease. You mentioned the classic, you're going to a party, mm-hmm. you don't want to take something that's complicated. As a host or hostess, you also want to have things in your arsenal that will not take up a great deal of room on the buffet table, don't need a lot of fussing to begin with. I mean, you're going to be in the kitchen slicing the entree or dishing hot things up. You want a couple of fallbacks that are easy to work with, that you don't have to worry about spoiling if they do sit out for a couple of hours. And as I was thinking about possibilities, I just kept seeing big, bright bowls of goodness. So that's my inspiration. What makes a party in a bowl?
And no prep once you get there, because, you know, you're the host of a thing. They've got stuff in the oven. Maybe they're not going to have room for you to warm something up in the oven. You don't want to be in the way in the kitchen microwaving or chopping or whatever. It's ready to rock.
Exactly. I know it happens sometimes, but if you've got one or two things that you know are no fuss, low maintenance, but really high impact on flavor, this is a great way to get through the holiday season.
And we don't have to be too fancy. One of the ideas you gave us, and you've got one of the recipes here online, is popcorn. We can really jazz up our popcorn to make it a cool, interesting treat.
One of the nice things about making your own caramel corn or spiced popcorn is that you can make it a day or two in advance, keep it in an airtight container, and then when you're ready to go to the party, you just dump it in the bowl. The one that really was intriguing was something that I saw on, they misspell it. It's pronounced machismo.com, but it's spelled M-A-C-H-E-E-S-M-O. The machismo.com blog, Nick on that blog, tosses freshly popped popcorn with butter, chili powder, cinnamon, cayenne, cumin, and salt, great Mexican spices. Then he'll spread that out on a foil or parchment-lined baking sheet, melt some Toll House chips, Nestle's chocolate chips, in the microwave, and then drizzle the chocolate over the spiced popcorn. You put that in the refrigerator for half an hour or so that the chocolate firms up. Then you can just break it up and put it in your airtight container ready for the party.
That's sweet with the chocolate a little bit, but spicy too.
Oh, yeah. It's a classic Mexican combination, chocolate and spices, and then you throw it on popcorn, and it's amazingly good.
And this is the Mexican spiced popcorn. We've got links over at the Ideas Network Facebook page.
Okay, good.
Okay. And so what are some other fun ways to jazz up that popcorn?
If you like making caramel corn, and I know for some people that boiling down hot sugar syrup on the stove takes the low maintenance right out the window, but if you're comfortable working with candy, making your own caramel corn, you jazz it up with certain Indian spices are a great way to play around with caramel because, again, you've got the sweet and the heat. If you can get a hold of the northern Indian spice mix known as garam masala, which is not as instantly bright front of the tongue hot, it's more of a heat that lingers at the back of your throat, that's a really great one with caramel. And one person on the loveandflower.com blog who makes an Indian spiced caramel corn, she gets the American Cracker Jack an Indian twist by using pistachios instead of peanuts.
Mm.
So there's a great way to play with it. It's one of those, you take a bite, you're surprised, and you think, well, this is weird, And then you find yourself going back to that bowl for the rest of the evening.
And popcorn's great because it really, when it comes down to it, it doesn't taste like much. So it's an empty canvas for you. You could do sweet stuff like this. You could do straight up savory or Parmesan cheese and spices. You can take it wherever you want to go.
The thing, though, with something like dusting it with Parmesan cheese, that doesn't have quite the sticking factor that, say, a caramel corn or drizzling it with chocolate would do. So if you don't mind, that to me right there ups the fussing factor. If you have to keep shaking the bowl to make certain that the cheese is properly distributed. Something like that, that's great when you are sitting in front of the television and nobody is worried about anybody double dipping into the bowl. But
and I am.
If you're trying to be polite at a party, you want something that you can pick up and not worry
about. So the caramel and chocolate hold the spices in place, too.
Absolutely.
It's not just for flavor. Oh,
absolutely.
Clever. We're talking to Lori Skelton about bowl foods. Great, easy to make, easy to transport foods to bring to your next holiday party. Now, mixed nuts are a big favorite. You brought in a couple twists on, not mixed, actually. You had one walnut and one pecan today. Both, I ate one, the other one looked good. Tell us about
cinnamon.
This. It had cinnamon, so I had to steer clear.
I know you can buy spiced nuts and mixed nuts. I know you can buy them, but they are so easy to do. It's one of these things that you put a little bit of effort into it, and everybody is incredibly impressed. The pecans that I brought in are from the Saveur magazine. I've been making them for almost a decade. And you take a lot of butter, put it in a skillet, toast your pecans in the butter for about 5 minutes, and then you will add things like chopped rosemary, Worcestershire, Tabasco, cinnamon, smoked paprika, cayenne, salt, and pepper. You toss that all together in the pan, set that out again on a parchment-covered baking sheet, and just let it cool. Once you've got all your spices measured out and ready to go, it actually takes more time to prep this thing than it does to make it, but you can have these pecans ready in 20 minutes. And then the other thing I did, this is from the Food 52 blog. Mm-hmm. I've never been a fan of overly candied nuts. This particular recipe, you can play around with the amount of sugar that you put in, but it also has the addition of butter sauteed sage. So that's going to cut back on the sugar as well. You've still got the candy crunch from white and brown sugar and maple syrup, but this is a recipe where you can play with the proportions. The recipe we've got online is what is recommended at Food 52. What I brought in today, I actually cut the white sugar back by about half, and it still turned out amazing.
That's the maple glazed walnuts with sage. I like that you cut the sugar back because it was like the sweet was a flavor, but it wasn't like you hear candied, you think it's going to be like candy. It wasn't. Like you get the hint of sweet, but you could taste the sage and the walnuts.
And when you have something that is sweet, you don't want it to be overly sweet if it's going to be a party piece. Unless you're going to a dessert party, you want something that's going to play all through the party. And this candied walnut wasn't so much candy, although I did have somebody who tasted them today tell me, I'd really like to chop these up and put them on my ice cream.
Ooh, yeah, that would have been good.
Of the two nuts, there was a slight favoring of the spiced pecans. I think a lot of people really liked just how complex that particular recipe is. But most people just said, bring them both. I will eat them both. I think both of these nuts belong at any party.
The walnuts I could have gone to town on all day. And you have a nut-free alternative to do similar sorts of things. But hey, what if somebody's allergic?
Exactly. Have you ever tried roasting garbanzo beans or chickpeas?
I did it once, yeah. Okay. I liked them pretty well. I don't think I got the roasting time quite right, though.
Okay. Do you remember how long you roasted them and at how high an oven?
I have no idea.
All right. The nice thing about canned chickpeas or garbanzo beans is that if you roast them at the right temperature, they do take on the characteristics of a nut. The best setup I've found is can of chickpeas that you drain and rinse, put that on your baking sheet with olive oil and salt, 450 degrees for 25 to 30 minutes. If you want to spice them up with garlic salt or curry powder. You toss that in with the olive oil before you roast them. I do, however, have one friend who roasts her chickpeas plain and then dusts them with powdered ranch dressing
after they come out of the oven. I think I did the temperature too low.
Okay.
I think it's where I went wrong. And then it had to take forever, and they were okay. They weren't great.
You want them crispy. You want them to almost be burned. You know, you want to take them that close to dried out. Because, again, you're going for nuts. And if you're going to go ahead and roast some of those just to have to nibble, go ahead and roast an extra can, because you can use those roasted chickpeas for other things.
Salads
where you might have nuts. But if you're worried about somebody having an allergy, these are a great substitute.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Bill is on the line in Superior. Bill, hi.
Yeah, hey, I was just going to mention my mom's recipe for ranch butter spindle pretzels.
Ooh, how does that work?
Always fantastic to bring to parties, and they usually don't last very long.
So do you take, like, just packaged pretzels and doctor them up?
You take the packaged pretzels and you use the powdered ranch dressing and some Orville Redenbacher peanut butter or popcorn oil.
Oh, okay.
And you mix all that together in a bag. And you can add a little garlic if you want, or maybe a little pepper if you want to spice it up, but after you're done mixing it up in a bag, then you just lay it on a paper towel, let it dry, and then go to town.
So you don't even need to bake it?
Nope, not at all.
Boy, talk about easy.
That's easy, yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that, Bill. Butter spindle pretzels with ranch powder. I didn't know there was a ranch powder.
You don't remember the original Hidden Valley came in a packet that you have to... Oh, boy.
That you mix. Okay, I'll look for that now.
Yes, it's still available. Hidden Valley ranch powder. It dusts a lot of things quite well.
We're talking to Lori Skelton right now, Food Friday regular. She's sharing some ideas on making unique, easy-to-prepare foods for our next holiday party, easy-to-transport these snacks. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. When you need to bring something to a holiday party, what is your go-to? What do you put out for snacking at a party or for the big game, for that matter? How do you make an impressive dish while keeping it simple? Do you have a way to dress up Christmas classics like popcorn, nuts, or salads? Do you have a question for Lori? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Find some recipes while you're there. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. We're picking up our conversation with Lori Skelton about holiday bowl foods, easy dishes to throw together and serve, maybe in a bowl, at our seasonal get-together, stuff that's easy to bring on over. Looking for your favorites at 800-642-1234. When you need to bring something to a party, an event, maybe on short notice, a snack of some sort maybe, what do you put together? Are there things that you love to see and munch on when you're there, or things that you're sick of? Have you put a new twist on an old favorite? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Chris joins us now in Watertown. Chris, hi.
Hi. Well, I don't... It's from here, Wisconsin. It's called sorghum. Have you used it?
I have not... cooked with sorghum as an adult. I know it was something that my mother had in the kitchen for a while in the 70s when she was worried about we need to find healthier things to eat. I will be honest, we never got the hang of cooking with sorghum. I know it's a very strong flavor. It's one of those you either love it or you hate it. So if she's thinking about using sorghum, maybe glazing nuts with that instead of maple syrup or something, if
a little goes a long way. Is that what I'm hearing?
At least for my palate, it does. But if that's a flavor you love, then sure, it'd be a great addition to the party.
Chris, thanks. We'll go next to Paul in Fort Atkinson. Paul, hi.
Hi. Being in Wisconsin, my family eats a lot of deer sausage, and we like to make our own beef jerky. I usually make my own beef jerky. I like to bring it to places. I use cow instead of deer because some people are sensitive about eating that kind of thing. But Homemade beef jerky is awesome.
I've got a question. Are you using a dehydrator, or are you actually putting that in the oven on very, very low for like 12 hours?
I use a dehydrator, and I like to use quality spices. If you use cheap spices, it don't taste as good. So
absolutely.
I like to use LaCroix soy sauce. I soak it in LaCroix soy sauce for about an hour and a half. And then I put lemon pepper and garlic powder on it, and that's all.
Sounds great.
And it's very good.
One of the things that I was asked to try and make, and because I don't have a dehydrator and my oven doesn't go low enough, I couldn't. But it is possible to make mushroom jerky.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The basic idea of you're going to soak your mushrooms rather than soaking your meat in something very savory, something wonderfully flavorful. The recommended recipe had apple cider. So you cook your mushrooms down, soak them in cider and spices, and then you need an oven that can go down to about 150, maybe even lower.
Wow.
And you need to be able to leave those mushrooms in the oven on very, very low heat for 10 to 12 hours. I've had mushroom jerky. It's amazingly delicious. I just didn't have the equipment to actually make it for this program.
Paul, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. We'll go next to Jose in Managua. Hi.
Hi. Just wanted to share cream cheese, a couple of sticks of that. Mix it with smoked oysters. Mix them together and use it as a dip. And it's very good and very easy.
And what do you dip in that?
Just pretzels or crackers.
Okay. So cream cheese and smoked oysters together, Lori.
It sounds a little bit thick for a dip. I might throw in maybe a little bit of regular cream or something to make it a little bit lighter, but the flavors sound incredible.
Thanks a lot for sharing that. We're talking to Lori Skelton about great and easy foods to bring to parties. You can join in with your favorites at 800-642-1234. And Lori, you also did some work with salads on this one.
Veggie salads, cabbage, cauliflower, fennel, kohlrabi, if you're still getting that in your CSA boxes. Those are a great way to get started on a salad that travels well. Because for veggie salads like this, you're going to want to make a vinaigrette that's actually more oil than your usual vinaigrette for a green salad. Did you taste the red cabbage salad I brought in for the pledge drive?
I don't know. I think I missed that somehow.
Okay. This was actually a Jacques Pepin recipe. Red cabbage, and it's dressed with cider vinegar, peanut and walnut oils, and Tabasco. And you mix that up with cranberries, again, pistachios, and you can throw that on an hour ahead of time, an hour before you're going to eat it, and it will just wilt the cabbage a little bit. It's still crunchy, but it doesn't taste raw. Toss that with some blue cheese, and you're good to go. And so if you're looking for crunchy vegetables with a heavier vinaigrette, a little more oil, but lemon is always good with that, lime for some cases, and, of course, orange. This month's Cook's Illustrated magazine even has an idea of making carrot salads less soggy. Instead of grating the carrots, you blitz them in the food processor till they look like the grains of tabbouleh. Tried this last night, and if you don't get your carrots too finely cut, they do hold a lot of crunch a lot longer.
I want to share this on Facebook. This sounds interesting. Chris suggests a great idea for a party. The host makes a variety of crostini, and everybody brings a bowl of something to put on it. Caviar, lobster salad, chopped veggies, whatever. So the host provides sort of that base of the, it could be crostini, a bread thing. It could probably be other things, a bunch of different kinds of bread for that matter. And everybody else brings the topping.
Yeah, that can be a lot of fun. And of course, that's a great way to find out what everybody else's favorite flavors are. If you're that comfortable with your guests, go for it.
Chris, thanks a lot for that suggestion. I appreciate it. I think we hit dessert. Oh, yeah. I can't forget about the marshmallows you brought in.
Well, I was inspired to try making something that was very Wisconsin after I saw a recipe for pink champagne marshmallows. Remember the woman who got me making my own Oreos last summer?
Right, yeah.
She makes pink champagne marshmallows. And I thought, well, if you can do it with pink champagne, I wonder if you can make a marshmallow taste like a brandy old-fashioned. And I got a basic marshmallow recipe. I'd never made my own marshmallows before.
Neither have I, yeah.
And the basic method is pretty straightforward. Again, it's a hot sugar syrup that gets whipped into gelatin. You need a stand mixer for it because it takes about 10 minutes to whip this up. Pour it into a pan, let it sit overnight, cut the marshmallows the next day, dusk them in powdered sugar, and you're good to go. What I didn't realize was I had added enough brandy and boozy cherries and orange liqueur to make it taste like a brandy old fashioned. But once you have to cut those marshmallows, you need a wet knife. Once those marshmallows are wet, you need to throw them in powdered sugar so they don't get sticky again. Once I tossed them in powdered sugar, the taste of the brandy old fashioned wasn't as strong. So I thought, well, there goes, this is a failure. Mm-hmm. I'll bring them in, I'll let people taste them, and everybody can say, don't try it again, Lori. The thing is, everybody said, you know, if the flavor was stronger, I really like these. Could you make some more? Maybe do just a straight brandy one with Tom and Jerry spices next time? Or I could, oh boy, this would be so good in my cocoa.
Uh-huh.
And I know it sounds silly, but having a bowl of highly flavored marshmallows, again, something to nibble on. You grab one, you take a bite, you come back to it later. And if I can get the proportions right, I think you're going to need about a quarter cup of liquid. But yeah, I made a brandy old-fashioned marshmallow for us Wisconsinites.
And I liked it. And this would really, this is a little more effort than most of what we talked about, but it's going to impress somebody if you bring it.
Again, if you're comfortable with doing the basics, practice once or twice, and I think you'll be doing this more often.
Lori, thanks a lot. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
That's Lori Skelton, a WPR classical music host and regular on Food Friday. You can still share your ideas at the Ideas Network Facebook page and find some recipes. You can also go to WPR.org/Food Friday to find a couple of the recipes that Lori talked about. And again, at the Ideas Network Facebook page, share your favorite holiday go-to treats. Love to hear about them.